beautiful Sunday morning. We are so glad to see you today. Psalm 47:6 says, sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. So let's do just that. Let's stand and offer God praise and thanksgivings for the many blessings that He offers us. Please stand.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Have a seat. Welcome to worship at Crossroads Church. We are so grateful to be gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, the one who makes room and space for each of us just as we are. It is so good to be with each of you this morning. Here at Crossroads, we believe that lives are changed forever when they experience the unconditional love of God. And our desire is to share that love first with each other and then ultimately out with our world, that no one would be the same when we come into the presence of God. We want to wish a happy Father's Day to all of our fathers and father figures and spiritual role models and caregivers in our lives, both men and women, all those who have poured love into the life of another and reflected who God is to one another. We're grateful for you and honor you, and we are happy to celebrate that with you today. We also know that today can be a day with a lot of different emotions, and so whether this is an easy day and happy or a hard day and sad, there is room for each of us just as we are in the presence of Christ. And one of the beautiful things about the church is we rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep. And there is room and grace for all of us as we are. So again, we're glad to be gathered together this morning. If you haven't already, I invite you to please take a moment and take a moment to fill out your welcome card that came with your bulletin, a way of sharing your presence with us today, a little bit about yourself. We're grateful to you when you take a moment to do that. And those can go in the offering plates during the offering this morning if you're willing to share that with us. Coming up this Wednesday is the next in our Beat the Heat summer series. That's the first and third Wednesday of each month during the summer. So this Wednesday, the 19th at 6 p.m., we're having a barbecue dinner provided by the Powell family. We're looking forward to that, and we're going to have an opportunity to do some projects to get ready for VBS and the Living Nativity later in December. So it'll be a chance to come together for some fun, some fellowship, some good food, and to get a little bit of work done together as a church. We hope everybody can make it. Again, that's this Wednesday at 6 p.m. And then next Friday and Saturday, we are blessed to be able to host the Mission Presbytery for one of its quarterly meetings. The Presbytery is the regional gathering of Presbyterians from all different places in Texas who will be coming here to this campus to do the work of the church together, to worship together, to learn together, and we get to host that. We're expecting around 300 people that we'll be welcoming, and we want to roll out the red carpet to make everybody feel at home. So if you are available to come and help on either of those days, we'll be here Friday from 10 to 7, and then Saturday from 8:30 in the morning until noon. If you can help with greeting or directing people or helping with refreshments or childcare. We're still in need of some childcare workers. Any of those are great opportunities. We're grateful for all the help that we can have as we roll out the welcome mat for our guests this coming weekend. Looking a little further ahead, there's a thank you celebration for all of our worship volunteers. Anyone who has volunteered in any way to help our worship services go off and to go smoothly, we're grateful for everyone who's been a part of that, whether in the choir or praise team or reading scripture or being a greeter or an usher or doing the slides or the sound, any way that you've contributed, we want to celebrate that. That'll be on Wednesday, June 26th at 6:30. And then a couple days later, Saturday, June 29th, is an all-ages outing to Astro Super Bowl to have a little fun bowling together. That'll be from 10 to noon that day. And again, each of these are opportunities to come together as the fellowship of faith and enjoy being together with one another. The flowers on this Father's Day are given to the glory of God by the Koinonia Small Group and in honor of all the fathers and mothers at Crossroads Church, and by Jean Buchanan in memory of her husband Jim, as it would have been their 60th wedding anniversary on June 5th. So we join her in holding up that memory today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Let's continue our time of worship by greeting one another with the peace of Christ. May the peace of the Lord Jesus be with you all.
continue our worship as usual. We're going to do this song seated, and we'll have a confession in the middle of it. So center yourself in the house of the Lord, and let's sing together.
Is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he's my song. You are good, good. Oh, you are good.
Go to God in confession, and if we're a confessing church, then we are getting right with him. So bow your heads now and pray with me. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, and in mercy, and we forget the blindness of our hearts, remind us, God, who we are. Remind us of your mercy and cleanse us from all the times that we've let you down and shut you out and shut your light out. Deliver us from ourselves mostly and the mess that we create when we're away from you. Help us instead to draw near to you, confessing the truth and confiding in your grace and finding in you our refuge and our strength through Jesus Christ, your Son. Hear us now, Lord, as we utter the confessions of our hearts that we dare only give to you in the closet. Amen. People of God, hear the good news. The Lord is compassionate and he is gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in love and kindness. He has forgiven you and forgiven your sins according to his word. So know this, that your sin is as far from you as the east is from the west. And if that's that one always bothers me, because I think the east and the west, they are never apart. And exactly, they are never there. So be assured in that, people, that nothing, by nobody on this earth, by me or nobody else, you are forgiven by Jesus Christ himself. And all of God's people said, amen to that. So in knowing that, we're going to continue to sing this song. Join. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let.
Like to invite the children forward for a message. Any of the kids who'd like to come up? Good morning. Come on over. Come on up, Bree. Boy, it's great to see each of you today. Has there ever been a time where you saw someone who needed help? Yeah? Can you tell me about it? Your friend was sad and you helped him or her? Okay, good. Yeah. Her? Kira? You saw someone getting bullied and you helped them? You helped stand up for them? That's great. Elsie?
My friends, like Mary and Andrew.
Oh, so you ask the grown-ups if you can help some of your other friends get along? Okay, good. There are lots of people who need help sometimes. Our Bible story is about someone who was sitting down. He had been born with something had happened to his foot, so he couldn't walk. And he was sitting there, and he was asking people for money because he didn't have any. And two of Jesus's friends, Peter and John, were walking by. And the man was sitting there, and he said, "Hey, can you guys give me some money?" And Peter and John stopped, and they looked at him, and he looked at them, and they said, "We don't have any money, but what we do have, we give you." And then Peter said, "In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk." And he helped the man up to his feet, and suddenly God had healed his ankle and his foot, and he was able to walk, and he started running and jumping and praising God, because something amazing had happened to him. And I think one of the things that story teaches us is that one thing we can always do to help is to share Jesus, to share his name, to share his love, to share with each other, you two. And that Jesus is with each of us. That anytime you need help, maybe if you're feeling sad or having a hard day or you don't know what to do, to remember that Jesus is with you. And like we were just singing, he's never going to let you down. He's always with you, and he can help you get up anytime you need it. Will you pray with me? I invite the congregation to join us too. Dear God,
thank you
for the name of Jesus.
Thank you
for healing that man.
For healing that man.
and for helping us too. Help us to share that with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, God bless you. You may go back to your grown-ups.
And now in response to God's amazing love for us, let us offer back our lives, our gifts, and our abilities to Him for His service. Let us bring forth our tithes and our offerings.
The weight of my past, crippled and burdened like stones on my back. You thought I had fallen too far from your grace, but you came and showed me the way. When I was a lost soul searching, you were the ground beneath my feet. I was a blind man begging, you were the eyes so I could see. When the smoke was rising up, you were the air that I could breathe. You gave me hope, gave me something to believe. Now I'm alive and born again, rescued from the grip of sin. God, your love came crashing in and pulled me out of the fire. I'm a survivor. Fields of your grace, wherever I run, you're leading the race. Shook the shackles from my feet, found redemption on my knees. You gave me hope, you gave me something to believe. Now I'm alive and born again, rescued from the grip of sin. God, your love came crashing in and pulled me out of the fire.
Scripture reading today comes from the New Testament. We'll be reading from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. As we prepare to hear the word of God, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the words of Scripture that you make for us your word by your Holy Spirit. We thank Jesus who is the word come into our lives. We pray, God, that we would hear what you are speaking to our hearts, that you would help us to respond in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." The word of the Lord. What is it that we as Christians or as the church have to offer? What is it that we have to give in the world? You know, sometimes you look around and there is just this mountain of need all around us. In the world, in our own communities, in our church, in our own families, in our own lives. And, you know, it's easy when you see just all of the need out there to say, "Well, what can I do?" And sometimes we say that out of defeat or as an excuse. "Well, what can I do? I can't do anything." Or sometimes we say it as a genuine question. What can I do to make a difference in the world? Either way, the answer is the same. What is it that makes a church come alive? What is it that makes a church be on fire with its purpose and its ability to make a difference in the world? In our scripture story today, we're told that the answer has to do with the giving of a name, that there is power in the name of Jesus. It's tempting to read our scripture story today as just another healing story in the Bible, as if there's any such thing as just another healing story in the Bible. But, you know, we kind of have this category. Person is in need or sick. They get healed by God. It's a miracle. Isn't that nice? But what does that have to do with us? But this story is so much more in the book of Acts. It's not just another healing miracle. It is the catalyst that sets into motion an entire chain of events that propels the gospel forward. First, this man gets healed. A crowd rushes together. The gospel gets proclaimed in the temple. As a result, the religious leaders have a confrontation with the apostles, and the persecution of the church begins. Eventually, the Christians get scattered all over, and they take with them the good news of the gospel, and the message begins to spread. All of this starts, this chain of events, with this one man being healed. We don't even know his name, and yet we see the value of impacting just one life and the ripple effect that that can have. That a single life can have such a huge place in God's plan in the world and in history. So our story begins with an interesting note that it takes place at 3 p.m. Now, anytime in the Bible that we're told a detail like this, because usually we're not told what time things happened at in the different stories, anytime we're given a little detail like that, It's a good bet that it's there for a reason, that it's meant to tell us something important, that it was at 3 o'clock that Peter and John were on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer. Why does that matter? Well, number one, 3 in the afternoon was the time of the afternoon sacrifice. Every single day in the temple, every morning and every afternoon, sacrifices were offered on the altar as a continual prayer before God. So at 3 o'clock, it's the time of the afternoon sacrifice. That's why they're going to the temple for prayer. But there's another reason why it matters. That's because you might remember that it's at 3 in the afternoon that Jesus died on the cross. In the scripture, we're told that it was 3 o'clock when he breathed his last and commended his spirit into the Father's hands, and the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. It was 3 in the afternoon that he completed his work of salvation. And so several times in the book of Acts, 3 o'clock is brought up when something important is about to happen, because the idea is that it's linking it back to what happened on the cross on our behalf. In other words, it's telling us everything that follows in this story flows from what Jesus has done for us, from our salvation. And in fact, another thing that it's showing us is that maybe the healing of this man is meant to be a picture of all of our lives when we receive Christ. That just as this man is healed and restored and able to walk and run and leap and rejoice, that that's an image for what it is when we receive that gift of salvation, Jesus' life in place of ours, so that we can be forgiven and have a new relationship with God, a new closeness and fellowship with God that wasn't possible before, that we are like that man. We are helpless and in need and yet are lifted up onto our feet, where we can run and jump and leap and dance and praise God. We're given an image of what it means to be saved by Jesus. The story continues like hundreds and thousands of other stories that take place all over the world every single day. It's a man begging for handouts. We're told that this man had been lame from birth, that something seems to be wrong with his ankle and his foot. He's unable to walk. And so every day, people would carry him to sit at the temple gate. We're told it's the temple gate called Beautiful. And every day, he would sit there so that as people were passing by on their way into the temple to worship God, he'd be able to hit them kind of at a good time and ask for handouts and be able to support himself. And so it's just like any other day. He's sitting there asking for alms, and along come Peter and John. Now, it's worth pointing out that in the scripture, we can tell that the apostles went to the temple a lot during this time. And that this man was there every single day. He was kind of a fixture there. People recognized him. When you go, you knew you were going to see this guy. And so one wonders how many times Peter and John had passed by this guy and nothing had happened at all. But for whatever reason, this day happens to be different. The man is sitting there. Peter and John are coming. And he asks them for money. And they stop. And Peter and John look at the man. And right off the bat, we're being shown that Peter and John are starting to act more and more like Jesus, and that we're called to do the same. So many times in the Gospels, when Jesus would heal someone, that healing story would start by Jesus stopping and seeing someone. Not just seeing their disability, not just seeing their need, but looking and seeing them in their humanity. He would see them, and then he would heal them. Oftentimes, you know, when someone is asking for handouts, what do? Kind of avoid looking, right? You avoid eye contact, because if you make eye contact, they might ask you, and you're kind of implying that you're going to do something. And so it's just less awkward if you can just pretend like you're busy with something in your car. I've spoken to a number of people who have lived on the streets who talk about how isolating that can be, how you can begin to feel invisible, where no one talks to you or really sees you. And yet here in this story, Peter and John stop and they look at the man. And Peter says to the man, "Look at us." And the man looks back. In other words, Peter and John are seeing this man in his humanity, and they're asking him to see them in their humanity too, to get out of those roles of giver and receiver, of helper and dependent, to get back to seeing each other, not for what you can do for one another, but for each other's humanity. Look at us. And so the man is looking at them, and they're looking at him. And he's expecting something to happen. He's expecting that they're going to give money because, well, that's what he's asked for. But not this time. Peter says to him, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." And Peter reaches down his right hand and he helps the man up. And instantly, his ankle and his foot are strengthened and he's able to stand and walk. And he's running and jumping and leaping and he is praising God. He didn't get what he asked for. He got so much more. Sometimes we focus so much on our lack. Right? The story could have ended just like it usually does with, "Sorry, I don't have anything to give you right now." So often we focus on what we can't do. I can't tell you how often people come to the church in need of help and we just don't have to give what it is that they need. And so often we focus on what we can't do. I don't have the silver or gold. I can't meet all the needs of the world. And sometimes the temptation is to get into that scarcity mindset, to focus on how little we have, that we don't have enough. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough people. We're running out of volunteers. And then, you know, you start thinking, well, fear, you start feeling fear about it. Your decisions are coming from a place of fear of losing it. So now you've got to protect what you have left. I can't let this go. I certainly can't give it away right now. We need this. I don't have enough. And so sometimes, even as a church, we get into that scarcity mindset of not having enough. Yet when God calls us to have an abundance mentality, that we serve a God not of scarcity, but a God of abundance, that all things in this world belong to God, and if there is something that we need that God wants us to have, God can shake it loose and give it at any time. We serve the God who is able to provide manna in the wilderness to the people of Israel when they were in the desert. We serve the Lord Jesus who is able to take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed a crowd of 5,000 people and then have 12 baskets full left over. We serve a God not just of eking by, but of abundance, a generous God, a giving God. And when we have God, no matter what we do or don't have, no matter what we lack, when we have God, we have more than enough. What Peter and John show us in our scripture passage today is to give what we have. To give what we have. That's part of the story, is showing that what started with Jesus, his miracles, his healings, his good news, the hope that he was giving, continues now through the church, that didn't stop with him. That now Peter and John are doing some of the very same things that Jesus had been doing. In fact, in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "You will do greater works than these." That is our mission. And so we're to be like Peter and John and do the same. Hypothetically, that might mean that we could go out and do the same sort of miracle, right? I don't know about you, but that thought kind of makes the anxiety go up a little bit. I'm not sure if I believe I could do that. I mean, I just picture going up to someone who's, for instance, been in a wheelchair since they were born and saying, "In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk." I would be afraid of what would happen. But really, I'd be afraid of what wouldn't happen, right? That nothing would happen, that they'd still be sitting there. I would look like a fool. I would have made God look bad. And maybe worst of all, I might have done damage to that person through that insensitivity and that the hurt that would be caused by that. There's so many stories of Christians, supposedly well-meaning, going up to someone who has some form of disability and praying and saying, "You're going to be healed." And then when it doesn't happen, they say, "Well, you must not have had enough faith." And it puts the blame back on that person. And sometimes we do harm to each other that way. I'd be afraid to do that. I don't know if the problem is that I just don't have enough faith. And if I had more faith like Peter and John, then I could do stuff like this. Or maybe, I don't know, those miracles were just for Bible times to get things started and we're supposed to learn spiritual lessons from them, but don't take it too seriously, don't go too far with it. I don't know. But if you look closely at the story, what I realize is that we have the exact same thing to give that Peter and John had to give. We have the exact same thing to offer that Peter and John offered in this story. Not a miracle, but a name. Peter and John, they say to this man, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." And he does. And that name hasn't changed. We don't have miracles to offer. We have the name to offer. Later on in the story, when the crowd has gathered because they're amazed at what's happening and they're wondering what's going on, Peter speaks up to them. He says, "Why are you surprised at this? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" In other words, Peter is saying, it's not because I'm super godly. It's not because this power is mine or because I'm so good or I've got this really close relationship with Jesus. It wasn't me. A couple of verses later, he says this, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong." It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. It's Jesus' name that we have to offer, not the miracles, not the power. It's Jesus' name. And it's up to Jesus then with what he's going to do when we share that name. This isn't about a magic word. This isn't about ramming Jesus' name down people's throats. It's about sharing his love. It's about sharing his presence, about sharing his spirit, about sharing his generosity. It's about living in that faith and sharing that faith, sharing the name of Jesus and letting him choose what he's going to do. In this particular story, in this particular situation, Jesus' name meant that the man was physically healed, that he was physically healed and able to walk. In another situation, the sharing of Jesus' name might mean healing on the inside. The changing of an attitude, or the gift of peace or gratitude, or sometimes what it is God giving us the grace to get through what we're going through, saying, "My grace is sufficient for you." Or sometimes it's maybe nothing at all changes, but God is going to use it for God's glory and for God's grace, taking what was meant for harm and somehow using it for good. That when we share Jesus' name, the result may be different each time, but the name behind it is the same. And we have the exact same name as Peter and John to offer. That name hasn't changed. Jesus hasn't changed. We have that to give. It's kind of like if you're playing a card game and you've got like a trump card. No matter what the hand is, that trump card is going to win. Now, depending on what other cards have been played, it's going to look a little different each time how you play it. But either way, that card is the winning card. In the same way, the name of Jesus is the winning name. That in the name of Jesus, we have victory. Now, that victory may look different depending on the situation and what God chooses to do in that situation, but the victory is there all the same in the name of the one who was rejected, who experienced suffering, who died for us and rose to defeat the grave itself for us. In the name of Jesus, all that is meant for harm and destruction can be turned to good in some way. What we have to give is the name of Jesus. There is power when the church knows what it has to offer. When we know what it is that makes us unique, that isn't found anywhere else in the world, and when we're willing to give it. When we know that Jesus is in us and with us, and we're willing to share that. You know, sometimes we get away from that, and the church can focus on different types of programs or ministries, and there's great good in feeding the hungry. There's great good in tutoring kids after school, or working with the homeless, or helping those who are in need of refuge, those sort of things. But when the church forgets that our basis for power for doing those things is in the name of Jesus, then we start to hinder ourselves. If we don't share the name of Jesus, who will? And yet Jesus' name, his presence, is what makes us unique in the world, is what gives us something that we can offer that no one else can, and it's what makes a difference. It's the difference between a hand out and a hand up. It's the difference between improvement and transformation. And what we have can do much more than just help people. It can transform them and set them free. And there's power in knowing that that's who we are and what we have to offer. Now the question becomes, does that mean that we just do evangelism and that we don't worry about helping people with physical needs? No, not at all. Peter and John didn't just tell the man about Jesus. They gave him Jesus. And they cared about not just his spiritual soul, but his physical body. They cared about healing him in his physical situation. In fact, we can learn from their example that it's Jesus' name, but our hands. that Peter says to this man, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. And then what does he do? He reaches down his right hand and helps the man up. It's Jesus' name, but our hands, that we are called to care about the real physical and spiritual needs of all people around us, but we're to know how we can go about it. Jesus' name and our hands. In James chapter 2, we're told, suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. And we are called to make a difference, but we're called to know how to make a difference. You hear of Christians sometimes who will go eat out at a restaurant, and instead of leaving a tip, they'll leave like a scripture verse or something. That's not helping anybody. That's just an excuse to be cheap. Jesus' name in our hands. There's power when we know what is the center of our offering to the world, of who we are and what is unique about us that we can give, in believing that Jesus really is among us and that we really do have him to share with the world and that he can transform other people's lives and our lives. That there's power in that. Fathers, this Father's Day, there's power in sharing the name of Jesus and how you live in front of your children and grandchildren. Mothers, the same, there is power in living out the power of the name of Jesus in your family. To all of us as a church, there's power in the name of Jesus when we are willing to share it and let Jesus do the work through us. It's not about us, it's about him and what he can do. Just look at what happens as a result. In this man's life, Peter helps him to his feet, and instantly he's healed. Physically, he's able to stand. And what does he do? He walks, and he jumps, and he leaps, and he praises God for what has been done in his life. The command was to walk. But he did so much more than that. We serve a God of abundance who is not able to just help us a little bit, but is able to give us more than enough, that is able to set us free to run and to leap and to dance and to praise our God. And I want you to notice what happens immediately after. You can almost miss it in the English translation, but it's important. The man is stood up. He's able to walk. He's running. He's leaping. And what does he do? He goes with Peter and John and enters into the temple. Now, in those days, people with disabilities or disfigurements were not allowed inside the temple. They were considered less than, as not whole, and therefore not worthy to be in the presence of God. And so they were expected to stay on the outside. They were excluded. Now, think about this. Every day, people would bring this man to sit outside the temple gate, the gate called Beautiful. And every day he would sit out there and watch as other people got to go in, but he was left out while he was excluded. And what is the very first thing that he does when he receives the power of Jesus' name in his life? He goes into the temple. He experiences a wholeness in his relationship with God, a restoration to community with the people of God. Instead of being left on the outside, he goes in now through the gate called Beautiful. It is an entrance for him instead of a barrier. And the same is true for you and me, that whatever it is that excludes us, whatever it is that makes us different or not good enough or not worthy or not loved or not wanted, whether it's something physically different about us or something on the inside that's different about us, whether it's a mental illness or whether it's because we're judged as different because of our race or ethnicity or our class, whatever it may be that says you don't belong, when we receive Jesus into our lives, we are made whole and brought on the inside. That we're brought into a full relationship with God where we belong, where we're accepted, where we're as we are. We're brought into a restored relationship with the people of God. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, I am the gate. The gate called Beautiful is Jesus. And whether or not we have physical restoration, when we receive his grace, when the power of his name is at work in our lives, in you and me, we're brought into the family. We're brought in on the inside. We're not waiting out there anymore. We're brought in. We're made whole. And now we're to share that with others. That we're to be like Peter and John and give this away to others. When we read the book of Acts, it's tempting to, you know, see them as larger than life. You know, they're just so bold about it. They're just so confident in the power of God working through them, and it seems so different from us. But maybe, just maybe, the reason why Peter is able to share the name of Jesus in such a powerful way is because he has experienced the power of Jesus in his own life, because of the relationship that he has behind that name. That just as this man was on the ground and needed a hand up, there were many times when Peter was in the same position. The first time he met Jesus in Luke chapter 5, we're told that they were in a fishing boat, and Jesus told him to cast the nets on the other side, and when he did, the haul was so big that the nets were starting to burst. And when Peter realizes what he's in the presence of in that moment, he falls down to the bottom of the boat with his head down, and he says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." But what does Jesus do? He lifts him up by saying, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Your sin doesn't disqualify you. I've got a purpose for you." Later on, when Jesus came walking on water, and Peter said, "If it's really you, call me out to you." And he steps out of the boat, and for a moment, he's doing it. He's walking on water. The faith is going, but then the wind starts blowing, and he starts looking at the waves, and he loses his center on Christ. And what happens? He starts to sink, and he's sinking, and he panics, and he calls out, "Save me, Lord!" And what does Jesus do? He reaches out his hand, and he grabs Peter, and he pulls him into the boat. In the story of the Transfiguration on the mountaintop, when Peter and James and John experience the full revelation of the glory and beauty of Jesus as he is, they're overwhelmed by it and they put their faces down to the ground. And when it's all said and done, Jesus comes to them alone and he places his hand on them and says, "Don't be afraid, get up." Again and again, Peter experienced Jesus' hand coming down to him to lift him up from his sinfulness, to lift him up from his fear, to lift him up from his unworthiness. And who's to say if when Peter was standing there putting his hand down to help this man up, if he wasn't seeing in that man an image of himself? That out of what Jesus had done in his life, he was now able to share it with others. Beloved, every one of us is wounded in some way or another, whether it's physically or spiritually or emotionally or mentally. Every one of us is wounded in some way, and rather than try to hide that or be ashamed of it, God calls us to use our woundedness to bless others. That in the ways in which we've experienced comfort, or ways in which we've experienced healing, or ways in which we've experienced that God's grace is sufficient even when nothing changes, that out of that comfort we are to comfort others. Out of our woundedness we are healers. That what Jesus has done to lift us up out of shame, to lift us out of our sinfulness, to lift us up out of our fear, out of our hesitation, out of our unworthiness, that we can share that with one another. Peter says to the crowd that it was out of faith in the name of Jesus that this man was made strong. So be strong, beloved, in the name of Jesus. Be strong, brothers and sisters. Be strong, Crossroads Church, in who Jesus is and what he has done for us and in our willingness to share it with the world. Be strong, and in Jesus' name, get up and walk. Don't just walk, but get up and run. Don't just run, but get up and leap and jump and dance and praise our God, because Jesus has lifted us up out of our graves into new life. We are raised to life with him. Be strong and get up and walk. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen. Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. Even when we don't understand you, your name hasn't changed. Who you are hasn't changed. You are the living one, the author of life. Not even death could stop you. And we claim your name in our lives to help us to get up and walk, or to enter in through the gate called beautiful into life with you, to be excluded no longer. Lord, help us to offer that acceptance and love to one another, that peace and that healing. Lord God, we lift up to you our brokenness, our wounds, or whatever they may be, physical, emotional, social, spiritual, mental, even wounds caused by your church, God. And we ask that out of our brokenness, your light would pour out to others, that through the cracks, the treasure that is within would be revealed. Help us, God, to know the treasure that we have to offer. To know that you are an abundant God and that we have more than enough to give away. That we can't outgive you. Lord, help us to pour out that love into our world and say, this is what we can do to share that treasure. God, we pray for healing for those who have been hurt or injured or recovering from surgery or are sick. Lord, from our own number, we lift up to you Becky Rodriguez and ask for your healing hand on her. As she is waiting more information on her cancer diagnosis, we pray that you would heal her and give her peace. We continue to pray for healing for Jane Lagerway. Lord, all those who are dealing with cancer or keeping it in remission or, Lord, trying to keep it from growing, Lord, we know that you are able to give life even in the midst of uncertainty. Lord, we pray for healing for Kathy Snyder. We pray for healing for Sue Shahane and Hope Jordan and Otho as he cares for her. We lift up to you Nicole Ringler and ask for healing in her back. Lord, that we claim in Jesus' name healing for her. God, we lift up to you those who are in the role of being a caregiver for others. Lord, that you would surround them with care from community, that we wouldn't be alone. We give you thanks for fathers today and that role designed to show us a little bit what you are like. We thank you for those who have been a positive influence in any way, men and women who have shown your love to us and poured into us. We thank you for the chance to do the same for others. God, I lift up to you broken relationships or absent relationships. We lift up to you places of grief, of missing either a parent or a child. Lord, you are able to speak peace into every one of those situations, and we ask for your healing. We thank you that you are our good Father, that in you we have what we need. God, we pray for our nation and our world, and we ask for peace at this time. We pray, especially lifting up our men and women in the armed services who serve in our name, God. We ask that you would protect them and guide them to make good decisions. Lord, make them peacemakers, we pray. God, we pray for those experiencing injustice or who don't have enough to eat or a place to work or a home to live in. We pray, God, for those who are running away from abusive situations, and we ask that you would be their protector. Lord, give them safety and security. God, hear the prayers that we lift up to you silently on our own hearts. You know our needs. Help us to lay down our burdens and to receive from you your yoke and your burden, which is easy and light, for you are gentle and humble in nature. We lift up to you our family members that we worry about and ask, Lord, that you would be God in their lives too. And God, all of this, we pray to you in the name that is above all names, in the name that is powerful, that can make us strong and make us whole. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.